5208 Media.
And now, on with the show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of Film Fracas. I'm your host, Carter Spilliards. I want to wish everyone a very happy new year.
Oh, yes.
Getting out this special holiday episode that we
definitely
are recording in the new year.
Yes, this is being recorded in 2020.
Totally not in mid-December.
I'm in my Cybertruck right now.
Yep.
recording this.
How are you in a Cybertruck? That's not released yet. January 2020.
Those voices you're hearing are my two co-hosts for the episode, Robbie DeShazer and Phoenix Zarola.
Phoenix, who apparently came into a lot of money and bought a Cybertruck.
Listen, man. I made a lot of money on Christmas money. It blew up for me, so.
Wild.
Yeah.
The Cybertruck blew up?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It was a very, very, very early prototype.
Yeah, the glass was still cracked from the presentation.
That's worrisome.
Yeah, I'm in a lot of pain right now.
Elon, if you're listening, fix it.
But yeah, this is, we're coming at you in the new year.
Coming at you hot.
Little bonus episode, but it'll probably be longer than our other bonus episodes. We'll be talking about the best films of the decade, in our opinion.
Yep, upcoming decade of 2020 to 2030.
We each made our best top 100 of the decade list. Don't worry, we're just doing the top 10 from each of our lists.
Yes.
This is going to be a five-hour-long episode where we each in-depth
talk about 100 episodes, movies.
300 films.
Yeah. There'd be some crossover.
Oh, there's definitely crossover.
Yeah. I will say that by the time you're listening to this, I'll probably have posted my top 100 on my Twitter.
I also will have done that.
If you want to see our full list, follow us on Twitter.
Also, our lists are subject to change for the interest of disclosure. We are recording this mid-December. We have not seen Cats. We have not seen Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker yet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
I personally haven't seen Uncut Gems yet.
There are movies. Yeah, there are plenty of movies.
I haven't watched The Irishman or Marriage Story yet.
There's still plenty of movies yet that we have not seen that could possibly sneak up into our top 10 later.
I didn't watch The Do-Over.
But I think our top 10 is pretty well set. I would not expect too much change unless one of us just really loves Uncut Gems is super good.
Yeah, I was going to say, if one were to make it in my top 10, it would probably be that.
Yeah.
Unless Rise of Skywalker is just incredible.
It's just like the best Star Wars movie ever. Which, it's funny that we're talking about it now when it will have been out for a month.
I know.
Hey, maybe you'll have followed us on Twitter and you'll see that we hate it instead. And that'll be an awkward...
We'll see.
We'll be listening to this on January 3rd like, wait... Carter said all Star Wars movies are bad because of this one.
It's weird. He retroactively hates all of Star Wars now.
I'm predicting big success for that movie.
I'm willing to bet it's going to make some money, yes.
Yeah.
by the time you listen to this, either Phoenix or I will have won our fantasy league.
Yeah, it's coming down between either of us.
We'll see.
We still have two other people that...
We still have two other people. I'm fighting Phoenix right now.
Yeah, currently this week, so... You know, this is the last time you're hearing us as friends.
Yeah, lots of updates. Carter gave me a mean Christmas present.
And then a nice Christmas present. It was a gag gift. You just got your Krampus present first.
I just gagged. He gagged me and then...
And then gave him a baseball to feel better.
Yeah.
Anywho.
So we each got 10 films?
Yeah, so we're going to...
How much crossover are we predicting in our top 10?
I have no idea. I feel like maybe we'll get one
each other. I think like three.
You think?
Three?
Yeah.
It's possible.
I've got three on here that I feel like y'all would have three on there.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Phoenix has some hot takes, so I'm just...
Phoenix has some interesting... I like his top 10, but...
Yeah. I haven't seen Phoenix's list at all. I've seen your list, Carter.
Yeah, we're going to... And my top 10 has not really changed.
I don't remember your top 10 off the top of my head, but I...
But you remember my first one.
I know we have at least one.
Yeah, we'll talk about that when we get there.
Yeah, but basically we're just going to go down the list. Like, we'll start with 10s.
I guess I'll pull it up on my phone so people aren't just looking at my list on my computer.
And so forth. And then we'll just kind of... We'll say a little bit about each one.
Yeah.
As we go.
Go for it.
But...
You want to start us off?
I'll start us off.
Are we going to snake it? Or are we going to go...
The Carter, me, you. And then Carter, me, you, Carter, me, you, Carter, me, you.
Oh, so we'll go in a circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or a triangle. Is there only three of us? Also, if you're wondering, Shannon's fine. We just are recording this episode early.
Yeah, yes. She had
a conflict.
Yeah.
So
she's going to make it this morning.
So she's just not here on this episode.
Time-wise, you'll know that Phoenix wasn't on our Christmas episode.
Yes.
And Shannon was.
And that's so, because
and that's because
quite a bit of scheduling.
Yes. Yeah. There's a lot going on.
It's the holidays.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
But that's where she is. Anyway, my number 10 is the only film on here I can truly and 100% with 100% confidence call a masterpiece, a near perfect film.
Back like, to the Future.
I think from beginning to end there, it is truly flawless. And that is 2017's, directed by Paul King, Paddington 2.
Very good. Very good choice.
It's
great movie.
It's, I think, by all accounts, a perfect film. There are no problems with it, and it's just simply delightful.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a very fun, innocent, happy time. You can't not watch it and not smile.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 I love that movie. Not in my top 10, but.
Yeah, yeah. My number 10, also, I would consider this a masterpiece. I think this is all around perfect in music, acting, performance, cinematography, and especially editing. I'm going with Damien Chazelle's Whiplash.
Ooh.
Very good.
Great movie. I love the story of it. It's very simple, but it's very tense. I love the characters in this movie. J.K. Simmons' performance also is just iconic. One of the best of the decade for sure.
Yeah.
Arguably the best, depending on what you go, how you want to like compare these people. It's you know, astounding. The music's incredible. And I think it's one of the best directorial debuts for a director. Like it's a great first film.
Oh yeah. Whiplash actually made my number 11, so.
Oh, so just right up?
Right off from it. But I will give it the shout out because it's so close to being on this.
It's on my list.
Yeah. Great. So we have one crossover.
Yeah. Love Whiplash. Great.
I won't say when, but it's on my list.
99. Is it something like that? Is it 99 on your list?
No, you'll see.
My number 10, topping off my top 10, is Pixar's Coco. The colors in that movie. The music is fantastic. It's incredibly emotional. I should say that my top 100 maybe aren't the most objectively best films, but these are some of the probably the 100 films that affected me the most in the 2010s.
Yeah.
And definitely way up there is one of my biggest theater crying experiences of the decade.
Oh yes, I was
is Coco.
Ugly tears.
Yeah. And
it's number 54 on my list.
It's a gorgeous film. I love everything they do. The voice acting is great.
I think
it's a great moment in the culture and the zeitgeist itself.
I think it's Pixar's best movie.
It probably is. I would venture to say it is. Also, watch it in Spanish if you haven't, even if you don't really speak Spanish. It does add another element of beauty to it, which is great. So.
For sure.
Yeah. The songs are especially beautiful in Spanish.
Yes. 100%. Also one of my favorite soundtracks of the 2010s. Love the music in that.
So, number 9.
We're moving to our number 9.
Number 9. So, my number 9 is another 2017 film. This one from my man Guillermo del Toro.
Ooh.
The Shape of Water, Best Picture winner.
Oh.
I adore this movie.
I adore Guillermo.
I adore Guillermo del Toro. I found this movie to be spellbinding. Like, it's beautiful and gorgeous and just so weird and, like, off the wall. And Sally Hawkins gives a fantastic performance. Michael Shannon
gives... Do you
have
two Sally Hawkins performances in your top 10?
In a row. Michael Shannon gives... maybe his best performance of the decade. I love him so much as the villain in this movie.
Somebody doesn't kneel before Zod.
That's also on my list. Richard, though it's at like 99, I think. Richard Jenkins also gives a fantastic performance. I mean, that year at the Oscars was difficult for Best Supporting Actor. I think that was the most difficult category that year because they were all so good.
A very, very good year for
Alexander Desplat's...
The score is great. The
score is so good. There's just so much to love about this movie.
It's in my top 100. I don't know where it exactly falls.
But I love that it's like sci-fi, but it's at its core like a love story.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful. And
Guillermo del Toro does a fantastic job of that.
Yeah.
I haven't rewatched it since I first saw it in the theaters. Mm-hmm. I need to give it that, and so it might bounce up if I were to like really take the time to rewatch 100 movies. And
I do worry though if the Academy went too weird by picking it for Best Picture and then overcorrected, and that's why we got Green Book. But it is what it is.
Yeah,
I'm glad Guillermo won, and I'm glad Shape of Water won.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My number nine. This is a former Film Fracas pick that you may remember.
The Shining?
Iron Man wasn't this decade.
You're right. It's Akira. No, it is Hereditary.
Yeah.
By Ari Aster.
It's on my top 10. I'm not going to tell you where. It's in my top 10.
All right.
I have it at 44.
Another crossover. I love Hereditary so much. I think I brought it up a few times during that week, so I won't go over too much about it, how much I really like that movie, but I think it's incredible in terms of how, like, the atmosphere it creates. I think the performances in it are really, really well done. I really like the technical aspects of this film, like the cinematography is good, the lighting effects that they do for this movie are really good, and it's easily, for me, no question, the scariest movie of the decade. And when thinking about movies that really affected me when I watched it, I had to make sure this movie was in my top 10 without question.
Yeah. All right. My number nine might be my hot take of the top 10. I know this is not a favorite of a lot of people. So my number nine,
what are you talking about? Everyone loved the to-do list.
The change up?
It's just go with it. Denis Villeneuve's Arrival is in my number nine.
I love Arrival.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. I don't know if it fits into top 10 for as many people as it does for me. I love the way that it talks about language and the way that it reflects how language and time and the way that we speak all just, you know, reflects the shape of our mind and creates this mind-bending world that is, I think, is a lot of fun. It's also gorgeously shot. The performances are very, very good. As someone who was going through a lot of communication classes at the time, all the stuff about linguistics and rhetoric and everything really struck a chord with
me. Also, maybe your career best Amy Adams performance. She's so good.
She's so good. And I'm glad that someone has Amy Adams at a top 10 because she just killed it all decade.
She really did.
This movie in particular.
Yeah.
I also won't say this every time.
78, but I do love that movie.
Yeah, I won't say this every time, but I think it's fair to say that I have Arrival, or fun to say that I have Arrival at 69.
Nice.
What is my 69?
I don't know. You'll find out.
Wait. Oh, it's First Man.
Nice.
That's just a funny one to have in 16.
I didn't even think of that.
You got to keep it now.
Yeah. So we're on eight?
Yeah.
Yeah, so my number eight, getting out of the year 2017, roll it back 2 years, the year 2015, this movie hit like a fucking, like, napalm. George Miller's Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, yeah.
This movie is an opera of carnage, nonstop beginning to end. It's just an absolute thrill ride, I tell you what. It's...
took you a second to come up with the words?
Yeah. It's an opera of carnage. It's so good, and Tom Hardy's great as Max, and Charlize Theron's Furiosa, and it was like, I'm watching it, and I had a shitting grin the whole time. I had to pick my jaw up off the floor after like 2 hours of it being there. This movie is a visual assault, and it's like, it's insane.
Not to fight you, because we've talked about this, I didn't love this movie.
Yeah.
And I've only seen it the one time, and because, like, and I know that people are like, oh, you should see it again, you should give it another chance. I don't really want to. I didn't enjoy my experience seeing it. Not that I had anything, like, wrong with it, but I just came out and was like, okay, that was a movie. Like, I didn't. Yeah. And it was definitely before I started really, like, getting into movies again. Like, you know, now I would say there was, like, kind of a drop in my life where I was, you know, as a kid, I tried to eat up everything I could about the movies that I loved. And now I try to, you know, watch as many movies as I can, you know, learn as much about what's going on, but there's kind of this like middle part in like, I guess, middle school, high school, where you're like, nah, you know, I'm going to see what I like.
Yeah. I think for me, it's one of, it's, I think possibly one of the most, if not the most like technically impressive films of the decade. It's like you said, it's like a visual assault. Like everything is just gorgeous. Yeah. Everything looks like fresh and clean and like incredible. Like it's just like one of the, it's one of the best like Marvels of like watching when you,
it's not a Marvel movie.
It's, I had a feeling as soon as it said Marvel, that was going to be said. But it, I just remember watching it just being like jaw dropped at how like wonderful everything looks.
Yeah.
I have it on my list at like 43 right now. Only because, you know, just personally, like while the movie looks incredible, like, you know, the story's pretty, pretty fine. Like it's just normal, but that's not a problem at all. It's not a diss to the movie at all. It's just what it is.
And yeah.
It just doesn't respond to me like these other movies have, but it's incredible achievement, like without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
For my number eight, I have, let's go back one more year behind, 2015. Let's go to 2014. I have Richard Linklater's Boyhood.
Very good.
Eight. And for all the listeners and the people at this table right now who say I hate movies with kids, look at that. I have a movie about a kid in my fucking top 10 of the decade. So I am fine with movies that have kids in it. What I just really love about this movie, and I think this movie, from person to person, mm-hmm. you'll get a different opinion on, because it's really relies heavily on like relatability and how you respond to the life and like the presentation mm-hmm. of the movie itself. And I think that's common with like a lot of Linklater films. A lot of it relies on relatability, or a lot of like, how does what they're saying or what they're going through speak to your own life?
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand if a lot of people don't respond to it as high as I did, but I've never seen a movie so much capture what my life was.
Yeah.
Except until this movie.
Definitely.
Like it just felt, I watching it as a kid, not even just what they were talking about, but just like moments of like, oh, they're just, you know, staying over at their friend's house playing Halo on their bed. Like that related to me. Oh, they're riding skateboards and listening to Come Millionaire. Like mm-hmm. as cringy as that is, that's what I did sometimes as a kid. Like it, there's so many things and like that you just pick up on, you just see, and that I personally just felt like this was a like excellent portrayal of my life. So
yeah.
I just responded to it extremely well. Yeah.
I have it at 34. I love that movie.
Yeah.
It should have won Best Picture over Birdman, don't at me.
I think back then I was very, I wanted Birdman to win, but I think looking back, just
think,
how much that movie has stayed with me, Boyhood, that I do think it probably.
I think Michael Keaton was robbed, but.
That's what Michael Keaton
should have 100% won Best Actor.
Do I think that Birdman is the better picture? No. Do I think that Michael Keaton is a fantastic actor and killed it in that movie? That's probably more what I think about that.
Yeah.
Boyhood's pretty cool. It's in my top 100. Like I said, I've only ranked my top 10, so I can't tell you where it's going to fall.
Right.
It's not in my top 10.
That's fair.
But another movie, a lot of the same things you said about Boyhood and about being able to relate to a state of being or a, you know, a nostalgia for a time that really isn't that far away or something like that, is very much what my number eight is about. Bo Burnham's Eighth Grade is my number eight.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good movie.
That movie.
Great movie.
As, I mean, I'm sure you can tell now with as somebody who started two podcasts, like it's,
mm-hmm.
I was definitely that kid in middle school trying to be a YouTuber, trying to do the whole thing. I've always, you know, wanted to share my opinions with people, which is a really weird thing now that I think about it. And I don't know how I feel about doing that now as a person, but I guess I put it on a podcast week to week. So, but other than that, I mean, Eighth Grade is so affecting in a certain mm-hmm. way. And it's so much about, it really connected with those feelings that like, I don't even think I really didn't have any kind of like troubles or struggles growing up, you know. But this is very similar in that way, where it's like there's not, you know, it's about real feelings that aren't from, you know, oh, people living in poverty or people that are like oppressed by society. Like, it's, you know, it's that suburban angst and that feeling of not belonging that, like,
yeah,
really connected with me. I think it's a fantastic film. I think that every parent should show this to their child because I think it's a great conversation starter.
For parents just understand their children more.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, my mom and I had a very heartfelt conversation about this movie back in, like, August when she saw it for the first time. She was like, was this how you felt? And, like, I was like, yeah, this is exactly.
Yeah.
This movie is probably my most egregious omission from my top 100 list.
Really?
But it's in my honorable mentions.
It makes me mad because I know what your number one is.
We'll get to it, but yes. I have Eighth Grade at 34 for me. I really love Eighth Grade a lot. Also another really good directorial debut by Bo Burnham. A lot of the reasons you said, like this, I also think this movie is a great portrayal of like what it's like to be a middle schooler. And, especially I think it's currently one of the great portrayals of, especially being a middle schooler in like the internet age and social media age at this point. Cause, you know, they've made like movies about like children and growing up before, but this one really
captures the time,
captures the anxiety and the social pressures of it all. And, just all the added pressures along with already being an anxious middle schooler and still.
Elsie Fisher is just phenomenal.
And she's excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I definitely bump it because I've really identified with the comedy that Bo Burnham's done.
Yeah, it's really funny. Like, a lot of heavy cringe.
A lot of heavy cringe, but also just like the serious stuff that like he does in his last couple of specials that are just like, they hit really close to home for me. So to see that put into a medium like this that is so just artfully done is a fantastic addition to my top 10.
So my number seven, 2016, Barry Jenkins, another Best Picture winner, Moonlight.
I'm not going to make the same joke.
Another former Film Fracas pick. I love this film. It is stirringly, like, beautiful. It's tender, it's heartbreaking, and it's so moving. And I remember when I watched it, I was kind of floored. I was like, wow, it was quite affecting. I love it. I think it's expertly, I think maybe one of the, in the running for one of the best directorial debuts of all time.
It's great.
It's crazy good.
Yeah. I had, Moonlight right now. It sits, at 19. So it's pretty close to my top 10. But it's just like an acting clinic.
Yeah.
Like it's incredible.
Everyone
in that movie is just killing it. And the
cinematography is
it's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful.
It may be the most beautiful film.
People. Yeah. There's a lot of people that say, you know, every frame is a painting or whatever. Yeah. This is truly.
Yeah. And just like every scene just like gets you in your heart and like makes you feel. And it's such an incredible ride. Like it's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. It's moving. Like you said, there's so many praises to sing about this
movie. The score is fantastic.
It's truly something that could only come from someone who cares as much about film as Barry Jenkins does.
Yeah. And it really comes through.
It's in my top 100. I haven't ranked really above my top 10, 15 specifically, but
My number 7 is actually an animated film.
Wow, you're so creative.
Yeah, but let's see. I'm almost betting there's not really any crossover in. My number 7 film is
Sausage Party.
Listen, we haven't got a number 1 yet. Charlie Kaufman and Duke Johnson's Anomalisa.
It's in my top 100.
Still have not seen it.
It's a fantastic
film. Highly recommend. Yeah. I own it if you ever want to borrow it, if you want to watch it together. It's a wonderful, like, really moving film. It introduces a great romance, but also a great like heartbreak and loss. It's a really troubled main character who's really jaded and kind of disconnected with the rest of the world. I love the animation style in it. The voice acting is great. They do an interesting style where they have one actor, David Thewlis, play every character except for the main two. So all of the characters in the entire city are just voiced by the same person to really feel the kind of jadedness and disconnectedness of the main character, how he's not really growing an attachment or an identity to a bunch of other people. It's just, it's so moving. It's so well done. Charlie Kaufman's one of my favorite filmmakers of all time. This table here knows that. He's made one of my favorite movies ever, and I love it.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I love that movie, Phoenix. That's a great pick. Maybe an omission from my top 10, but definitely in my top 100.
I'll watch it eventually.
It's a great movie. Take the time to watch it. We're
best
doing
Kickstarter film of all time. Remember Kickstarter?
Still around.
Yeah.
Everyone's on Indiegogo now.
Yeah. And Patreon.
Yeah. This is number 7, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. My number 7, it's Hereditary. We've already talked about it a little bit, but love that movie. The performances are fantastic. Mm-hmm. Another great directorial debut. I love the use of shadows. I love the use of like the practical miniatures, like for a story purpose, not just like, ooh, yeah, we're fancy and we use miniatures. Like, there's kind of a fun story with it. One of the most haunting films I've seen in a long time.
Mm-hmm. It really stays with you.
It for sure does. Yes. But yeah, a great film for Akis Pick. Yeah. It definitely deserved to be there. It definitely deserves to be in my top 10.
Yep.
Now on to our number 6s.
Yes. So rounding out, you know, the first half, my number 6 is also 2016. Briefly a Best Picture winner, Damien Chazelle's La La Land.
Hey.
I'm just going to jump in and say it's also my number 6.
Okay. So just personally,
I'm going to jump in and say not in my top 10.
Okay, it just barely edged out Moonlight for me in my personal ranking.
This is racist.
But no, I love it.
It's history.
La La Land.
La La Land is my best picture.
It's, oh my God. I love that movie so much. It's the, I don't know if there was a better on-screen couple this decade than Emma Stone and Ryan Gosling between this and Gangster Squad and Crazy Stupid Love.
I will say this is my like top 15. Like, yeah. It's not.
I just adore this film. I cry every time at the end. The music is great. I wish there was more, but what we get, I think, is fantastic. It's a love letter to Hollywood and to Los Angeles, and it's beautiful and fun, and yeah, I just adore every minute of it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think we said at the top, haven't seen Cats yet, but yeah. I'm gonna say this is the best musical of the decade. Though again, Cats has not been watched. It could jump over.
We haven't seen Cats yet. It's
but
we're all waiting with bated breaths.
Echoing everything Carter said, this movie is just gorgeous. The color scheme is incredible. Yeah. It really pops. It's a really fun and moving time. You really fall in love with the characters, falling in love with each other. The music's really great. The ending's so bittersweet, but like so perfect in that you just, You hate it, but love it at the same time. I really love this movie a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So I think we're going to take a quick break in the middle of this, and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening to this episode of Film Fracas. Before we get back into the action, I just wanted to tell you about a show we have here on the 52.8 Media Network called Tapheads. That's right. Tapheads is a show hosted by yours truly, Robbie DeShazer, along with Carter Spilliards from Film Fracas and our good friend Wendy Lopez. We get together every other week and we drink a whole bunch of beers and talk about what we like about them, what we don't like about them, what we're learning about beers. There's just so much fun to be had. We've tried a whole bunch of different breweries, a whole bunch of different types of styles of beers. We're just having a lot of fun doing this, and I think that you guys should go check it out. So right after you listen to the second half of this episode, head on over to anchor.fm/tapheads and go listen to our most recent episode. We had a lot of fun making it, and we hope you guys have a lot of fun listening to it. All right, get back to the action. All right, we're back. And where we left off, you two both had La La Land as your number six.
Yes.
All right, and we grabbed a Shannon
joining
Hello.
Us.
Hey, Shannon's here. Do you have your top 10 or are you just going to comment?
I do not really have a top 10. I'm just going to comment and insert my opinion.
Real quickly, do you need to run through your top 10? Your
that would
top
be great.
Fours?
She can listen.
Could you really quickly for Shannon do the...
Well, just wait. It'll be a long-term payoff.
It'll be a long-term payoff. Okay.
Okay, sure.
Well, I guess we'll just run through our list without
me. My number 10 was...
Oh, okay.
We'll go.
Go. Okay, go. Go,
my
go,
number
go.
10 was Paddington 2.
Okay.
My number 9 was The Shape of Water. My number 8 was Mad Max Fury Road. My number 7 was Moonlight. And my number 6 was La La Land.
All very solid.
My number 10 was Whiplash. My number 9 was Hereditary. Number 8 was Boyhood. And my number 7 was Anomalisa. And my number 6 was La La Land.
Okay.
Honorable mention, my number 11 was Whiplash, so Phoenix and I were pretty close.
Whiplash definitely deserves many mentions. I'm glad it got a spot in the
top
10.
My number 10 is Coco. Mm-hmm. My number 9, Arrival.
Okay.
My number 8, Eighth Grade. Number 7, Hereditary. And my number 6, I'll reveal to everyone, The Florida Project.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Sean Baker is a god amongst men. No, Sean Baker has made two very, very good films in this decade. Mm-hmm. Really exploring.
The man loves his iPhones.
Well, he didn't shoot. Florida Project's not iPhone till the end.
Yeah, that's true.
No, he's a fantastic filmmaker.
He's 35.
Fantastic filmmaker.
But, Sean Baker, both of his films this decade really explored the poverty that lurks beneath and just outside of very glamorous areas.
Yeah.
I grew up with a lot of love for Disney World and the Disney parks, which I think I've mentioned many, many times. But this is a real dive into just how rough life can be, even just 20, 30 minutes outside of Walt Disney World. It's not great what happens. If you can't get a job at the parks, you're kind of forced to go further and further out. And a lot of people are forced to take hotels and motels as temporary housing. That is just, it's not a great situation, but at the same time, it captures so much joy from the children in that movie. And I think it paints a really realistic picture. Also, it gave us Brooklyn Kimberly, who is a great, great person. She plays Mooney, and she actually, I think, became a very young director this year and worked with Facebook to direct her first short film.
That's so cool.
And she's doing a movie with Finn Wolfhard where they're demon children or something like that coming up soon.
Something like that.
Yeah.
This unfortunately got left off of my top 100 list, though I do also love this movie.
Two of my movies have been in my top 10 have been left 100% off your top 100.
That's true.
The spread in opinions is about great, though.
You could say we have different tastes.
Carter hates young girls.
I was going to be shocked.
Because he left off 8th Grade and Florida Project.
8th Grade is a very good movie.
I was going to be shocked if this movie was not in your top 10, because I know... you, more than anyone I know, really responded and really enjoyed this movie. Though I do really like it myself. I don't know if... I don't think it made my top 100 either.
It's okay. But I understand it's not for everyone.
I do like it. I do think it's...
I just saw your list and I'm like, The Martian's on there, but...
It's low. It's The Martian.
Yeah, but The Florida Project isn't.
I think we have The Martian in the same spot.
I have it at 97.
Oh, I have it at 86. Never mind.
Okay, a little bit higher.
But I'm with you that it's a really good movie, and I'm glad you put it on here because it would have been remiss if you didn't.
I'm being true to myself here.
Yeah, that's same with me and Anomalisa. So.
Yeah, like I said at the beginning, this is a list. My top 100 is not necessarily an objective. These are the greatest films.
Yeah, it's but the things, it shouldn't have to be.
No, it's the things that affected
your
me.
Favorite, it's your top favorite movies. Your 100%.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And my top 5 definitely reflect that.
My top 5 are very me.
I should say my top 5 are the ones that affected me the most that I also know are some of the best made films.
Yeah. It gets more... My top 5 gets exceedingly more Carter as it goes.
Oh, we know.
I think if you know me in real life, you can probably know what my top 5
is. Yours is also very characteristic of you.
Yeah.
New York came out in 2008. What are you going to do?
Technically it counts.
So kicking off my top 5.
Did my list last year.
My number 5 2014's Wes Anderson's magnum opus, The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Love this movie.
I love this movie so much. I love the performances. I love the direction. I love the script. I love the music. I love everything about it. I love Ralph Fiennes, Tony Revolori. Like,
I won't tell you where it is in my top 10, but Will I love DeVoe's that movie.
In it. He yeah, plays it's like got a strong man. It's
there's Saoirse so
Ronan.
I love the world that Wes Anderson creates. I know yeah. they're not Phoenix's favorites, and that's why he's being quiet right now.
I'm going to say it's not in my top 100, but I'm not going to be a dick about this.
Yeah. This movie is like...
You get why people like it. Yeah. You just don't... You don't like Wes Anderson in general.
Yeah.
This is like peak Wes Anderson. Like yes. This is every... It borders on self-parody, like how overtly Wes Anderson it is.
Yeah. If you had to choose one to not like Phoenix, this would be... I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I can appreciate the technical aspects of this movie. It's impressive in that aspect alone. Mm-hmm. The color scheme and the
ratios,
production design, everything that, with the color logic in that movie.
Yeah, I can appreciate all that.
So,
I'll save what I have to say about the movie for when it comes up on my list. But yes, it's up there.
I adore that film.
I'm gonna draw a connecting line between that movie and my number five through Saoirse Ronan.
Aquaman. Oh, it's Aquaman because of Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, number five, Aquaman. Saoirse Ronan's the lead in Greta Gerwig's Lady Bird.
Lady Bird's very good.
Oh, really love Lady Bird a lot.
Once, twice, three times a Lady Bird.
Yeah, I think this movie is so good. It's incredibly funny. It's incredibly well done as far as a character piece. There's so many shining moments between all these different actors. That both in the family and also her friends at the school.
Yeah.
I also think it's deeper than a lot of people give it credit for. Like, it's seen as to be like a movie about just a high schooler growing up or graduating and how she is her relationship with her mom. But I also think it like is also a commentary on like poverty and growing up. In like high school and like the social pressures of it and growing up in like a conservative environment as like a liberal person, like a liberal human being. And there's a lot of like other things that it touches on without overtly being about that thing. So I think it's got a very worldview kind of look to it, but it's just really funny, really charming. And I couldn't get enough of it.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Laurie Metcalf.
Incredible.
Incredible. Yes. Saoirse Ronan, also great. Yeah.
Also really enjoy the soundtrack, very for the times.
Yeah.
Timothy, the second best Timothy Chalamet movie of that year.
Yeah, Timothy Chalamet playing an asshole.
Yes.
Which he's very good at. What Luke Hedges is in as well, right?
Yeah. Luke Hedges is also good.
I think this is also a good movie to look at as like a preview for the next decade, because we've got like Saoirse Ronan, who's going to be blowing up even more, Lucas Hedges, Greta Gerwig's going to be...
That's the other movie we haven't seen yet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That also could get up there.
And, you know, she's going to be around the next decade for sure. As an incredible filmmaker.
Yeah, I have it at 83. So all 100 movies on my list I really like.
Lady Bird is just one of those movies that I could almost watch at any time just because of how much I adore it and then also how wonderful of a time it is to watch it.
Yeah.
And rewatch.
Number five. This one might shock some people.
Fast Five.
It's in my top 100. It's the best Fast and Furious movie. I'm taking a movie from 2012, going all the way back. My favorite Paul Thomas Anderson film, The Master.
Yes.
My number five. I still love Amy Adams in my top 10.
Started it.
Love it.
I love this movie. This cast is incredible with Laura Dern, Amy Adams, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Joaquin Phoenix, probably in one of his best performances of the decade. Definitely not the one he turned in this year. He's okay in it. I just hate that movie. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite Joaquin Phoenixes of the decade. Paul Thomas Anderson does a great job. It borders on satire of religion at times. It's a great story. It has a lot going on in it. It's fascinating to watch. I find something new every time I see it. I love this movie to death. It was the first one that I moved into my top 10 because I knew it's exactly where it sat. I was like, this is my number five. It's right in the middle of my favorite movies of the decade.
I mean, We talked earlier about Moonlight being like an acting clinic, and like is there a bigger powerhouse than Joaquin Phoenix, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Amy Adams, and Laura Dern? Like they just go off in this movie.
Vin Diesel, The Rock, Paul Walker.
Aside from the Fast
Tyrese. <Furious.
laughs> It's just so good. I mean, Paul Thomas Anderson's probably the best working director alive right now. And
one of them, yeah.
This movie is so good. The cinematography is great. The acting performances are great. It's hard to understand, but it's also, there's a lot of great things to like pick up on and like think about and ponder about. It definitely leaves
there's something new every time.
It leaves you questioning, but it's a good movie to like, to really think about afterwards and like really think what you're trying to respond to from the movie. And I love it so much. I'm glad it's on your list. I'm sad it's not on my top 10, but I was struggling to like bring them down. I think it's in like it's in the teens, right?
Yeah.
So it just missed my top 10. Yeah, it's a wonderful movie.
This movie was one of the first ones that in my first film class I ever took that was suggested to me. Like I said, the kind of movies I liked, and this and Election were both suggested to me, which shows the range of my taste.
Yeah.
But
they're like the same movie.
Very, very similar.
Yeah.
No.
And if you told me a Paul Thomas Anderson movie starring Philip Seymour Hoffman and Amy Adams wasn't my favorite movie of all time, I would
That's impressive.
I would be shocked. Yeah. Those are like three of my favorite people ever.
Yeah. So definitely, as I have a sentiment with some other films on this list that I'm like, this is really what got me back into like studying film and loving film.
Yeah.
This is definitely one from the 2010s that did that for me. So,
yeah.
On to the next one, the top four, boys.
My number four is, without a doubt, it's on my top 10 list of top 10 films of all time. I fucking love this movie so much. It's so much fun, so consistently entertaining. It's 2010's Edgar Wright's Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Also my number four.
I fucking love this movie so much.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just insanely entertaining from start to finish.
The same way that Phoenix said that he could watch Lady Bird at any given time. Yes.
Absolutely.
I could watch this.
I will stop whatever I am doing to watch this movie. If it's on, if someone's already watching it, I know everything going on so I can pick it up wherever.
It's just the jokes now nearly 10 years later are still hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, yes.
Absolutely pure Edgar Wright.
Yes.
And yes.
Never lets up for a second.
Yes.
But also very not Edgar Wright. It's like uses none of his same people. And
yeah, none of the Cornetto trilogy.
And it's very, very much more like a big studio, like blockbuster pick.
Yeah.
That's not true.
It's
That's
very,
true.
It's very like Edgar Wright and very unlike Edgar Wright.
Yeah, because it's still got like the flashy transitions and like the wonderful editing and style that he loves writing and like the music that he like is so known to do now with his with like Baby Driver and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and young Chris Evans and Brie Larson both doing weird different things, but it also works.
Looking at it now, it's just like the cast is so stacked. When like back then, I'm sure it was like, oh, this is a pretty good cast. Now it's like, oh, this cast is incredible.
Like, oh yeah, he was like the Human Torch, right?
I know, right?
That's literally, anytime I saw Chris Evans and something, I was like, oh yeah, I liked him as the Human Torch.
Yeah, now it's got like, two Avengers in it and like a few others.
Yeah. It's got Roman Roy.
It's got Roman Roy in it.
It's the thing that I discovered, you know, I just lost his name. Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin, yeah.
And I adored him in that movie. And then I didn't really see him in anything until Succession.
He did something really weird like 2 years ago that you loved.
Oh, Infinity Baby.
Yes.
It's a short film. It's on Amazon.
He's also a big theater actor, too. Yeah. So he was doing a lot of that.
Wears a lot of bracelets.
Theater actor.
Yeah. But
100%. Wears a lot of bracelets. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
Dude wears a lot of bracelets.
I think he was easily the funniest part of that movie. And I was like, why is he not in so many movies right now? And then he's on Succession now, and he's amazing. But yeah. I adore that movie.
Yeah, that movie's at number 11 on my list. So it literally just missed my top 10. But I am very happy to see it.
Great movie. Great movie.
My number four, maybe on the total opposite spectrum of just how fun and wonderful of a time it is to watch. My number four is...
I just peeked at your screen.
Alfonso Cuarón's Roma.
Oh, Wonderful. Wonderful.
I'm going to be honest. I still haven't watched Roma. I know I need to, but I haven't.
Oh, it's incredible, Robbie. You'll
enjoy the experience. Amazing.
Do I have to watch that before I watch Marriage Story and The Irishman? Or
If you want a dense day of film, then watch all three of them.
But if I just want to get my prestige Netflix on.
Yeah. Of those three, Marriage Story is the lighter one, and that kind of says what you
about Marriage Story is easily the funniest of the three.
Which is if Marriage Story is the lightest of the three, it's not a happy time. But yeah, there's no real connecting line I can do with Scott Pilgrim and Roma. But no,
I have it at 13, so it also is very close to my top 10.
A masterful piece of filmmaking. It's easily, I think, one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen in my life. Every shot, every frame is just so perfect in itself. It looks beautiful. The performances are incredible. You really fall in love with the family, and you really feel like you know them, and you grow with them. It just destroys you at the end. How much tragedy they go through, and how much they cling on to each other. It's an excellent portrayal of poverty and classes, but also just family struggle and social structure.
Maybe the best use of an emotional catharsis I've ever seen in a movie.
Yeah. You want to weep with them.
You weep at the end, not necessarily because it is sad, but because it is such a cathartic moment. And you're just oh my God.
Yeah.
I feel this relief with you.
Yeah. It's so touching, so breathtaking. I'm glad it's getting a Criterion release. I'm really, really quick to buy it.
It's absolutely well deserved.
Wonderful. It should have won Best Picture over fucking Green Book, but that's neither here nor there. I imagine Green Book's not in any of our top 100s, but
it's 99.
No, not.
But
it's not
I love Roma so much.
My number four was Scott Pilgrim, so we can move on to Carter's number three.
My number three, we talked about this before. Damien Chazelle's Whiplash.
Oh. Hey!
This movie is astounding.
Yeah.
It is like a panic attack, but for an hour and a half. It's I saw it and I was spellbound. It's just so engrossing, and it's, you feel every beat of that movie, as it goes. And then also, being in band, you, feel what it's like to be dedicated to something like that and, not being good enough and always trying to be better. And just that drive, I very much, saw myself in it. Not quite to that extreme. but just seeing that drive and determination. And also having an asshole band director, I can also relate to that.
Relatable content.
But it's so good.
Yeah, I already talked about Whiplash, but it's incredible.
Yeah.
My number three, for this top 100 or top 10 of the decade, is Spike Jonze's Her.
Very good.
Also very good.
Good mention.
Really love that movie a lot. I think it's kind of strange to say, but it may be my favorite love story of the decade, and it's between a man and a computer.
I wonder if that's more reflecting on you, Phoenix.
I don't know. It's just
compelling.
Yeah, it's extremely compelling. They really connect on each other in a personal level.
I have it at 40.
40.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm,
top 50.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson's voice, yo.
Scarlett Johansson's voice
it's good. Yeah, it's good.
It's good.
Really attracting, and her voice acting is incredible in this. Joaquin Phoenix's
mustache.
Your mustache, yeah. Also killing it.
Best hair.
Of course.
I thought this was on my list. It should be. I just just realized
what I think about.
Yeah. I was looking forward to be I had it on. I was oh no, I forgot.
Yeah, I had that with, I don't remember what the movie was. It was when we were talking about it and they were listening. I was I just completely forgot.
Yeah. That happens a few times. There's a lot of movies that came out this decade. The score and the soundtrack in this movie is really good. I really also like the color scheme of this film. I love all the red and I also like the kind of futuristic aspects of this movie. They're really subtle, but it's kind of a really nice kind of low-key sci-fi film.
The fact that he works at a green, or is it just
greeting cards.
Writing greeting cards. Yeah. And it's just like, it's just a kind of like a really deep movie, because it eventually starts moving past just like the, you know, the log line of falling in love with the computer, and then it gets into like deeper things about existentialism and like
the nature of love,
and like evolution of people and stuff. Yeah. Like, it's just a wonderful character piece, and it's something that really has stayed with me for a long time. So
It's very good.
Agreed, absolutely agreed.
Very, very good movie. My number three is another directorial debut. Jordan Peele's Get Out.
Very good.
Yes.
I love this movie to death. It's
another film practice pick.
Another film practice pick. Snubbed, honestly, by a first episode that did not quite fit it.
Yeah.
Another, I mean, another great masterclass in acting. Bradley Whitford kills it in this movie. Everyone.
Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah.
Kathy Keener. The I have it at 41, so her and Get Out right next to each other.
Nice. I love this movie so much. It's a, I mean, I remember when
modern classic.
Classic. I remember when we saw it for the first time at a preview screening with a room full of people who are all really into it, and there's just, I don't think I've had a theater experience like that before or since, and so something about that has stuck with me. That and then saw it again about a year later because Maggie hadn't seen it yet and it would had just been nominated for Best Picture, and so we saw it real late at night with like no one else in a theater at like a Regal.
Yeah.
And between those two experiences, still some of the most enjoyable experiences watching a movie in my life. I picked up on little details that I missed in the sound design when it when I wasn't in a room full of people, but also just like there's some cathartic moments like we talked about, just like feeling times where you felt like the oxygen was sucked out of that room and everyone was experiencing it together. It's just incredible to see a film that's so affecting that everyone is feeling the same emotions at the same time.
Yeah. Allison Williams, Brian Williams' daughter.
Yes.
fact that I learned recently.
Really?
Yeah, I was unaware.
Oh.
When did you learn this?
Oh, I mean, I say recently. It was like 6 or 8 months ago. But but I just didn't realize it. And now every time I watch a movie, I'm like, NBC Nightly News with Brian.
No, that's how she got that.
Formerly.
How she got that Peter Pan live gig.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nepotism.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I have Get Out.
NBC nepotism.
I have Get Out at number 14 currently, which I think we all have that ranked pretty high. Obviously, Robbie the highest. So for those people who were upset at how snubbed 41, it got in that season, we clearly all really love this movie.
Just know that it's good.
It is good. We love it a lot.
It's just that didn't have a monster.
That's the thing, too, is it's like we all love all 100 of these movies. There were over 5,000 films that came out this decade.
Yeah.
And so to narrow it down just to 100.
Yeah.
100. I'm surprised you haven't put a superhero movie in it all yet.
I don't. I have but only 3 or 4 superhero movies on this list.
Oh, I've got more than you do then.
My first superhero movie is 18.
My first superhero movie is 25.
Damn. Is Wreck-It Ralph a superhero?
No. Yeah, my first superhero movie is 25. Unless you count Mission Impossible, which is...
No, they're action movies.
Yeah.
I don't count Fast Five as a superhero movie.
Is Lady Bird a superhero?
Lady Bird
sounds like a superhero name.
But...
Connor for Real from Popstar is a superhero.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then it's at 15 then.
All right, so my number two... is a somewhat recent film, 2018.
I saw your list. I know.
I adore this film. I was not expecting to like it as much as I did, and I fucking loved it. It's kind of everything. I was very much like Stefan. I was like, this has everything. Yorgos Lanthimos's The Favorite.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
This was my pick for Best Picture last year.
It was my pick for Best Picture last year as well. It's my number 12, I think.
This movie I am enamored with.
I love everything.
All of the performances, like
Olivia Colman,
Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz, like even more of the supporting ones, like
Nicholas Holt is
so good. And the cinematography and the writing. Oh my God, the writing, the dialogue, the costumes. Like I love period pieces. Mm-hmm. And this one's just like everything I wanted it to be.
It was the prequel to the Jonas Brothers Sucker video.
Yeah. I just...
It's the same castle.
Yeah, you're right.
My favorite thing was when we were watching the Sucker video. I think Wendy pointed it out. She's like, is that the same castle from The Favorite?
She pointed it out and I was like, yeah, I'm already Googling it to make sure. But yes, I'm pretty sure.
But
yeah, it's definitely one of those movies that like, it's better than I thought it would be. And I already thought it would be really good.
Like
I already had high expectations for it. I saw it even better.
Like 3 times in the theater. And then I instantly bought it when it came out on Blu-ray. And I don't know how many times I've probably watched it probably 10 times at this point.
Wow.
And I still am constantly thinking about it.
Yeah. The scene when Olivia Colman's eating cake
and then throws it up.
And then eats cake again. It's what a cake.
When Nicholas Holt just pushes her down a hill.
Yeah.
So much falling in that movie.
There's a lot of falling.
There's a lot of pushes.
A lot of gout. A lot of gout.
Yeah. A lot of good gout.
Yeah. A lot of good raw meat in that movie.
The duck race.
Horatio
the duck.
Oh man, yeah.
Shooting guns at each other.
I have it on my list at number 35. So still pretty high up there.
We love all of these movies.
Yeah. They're all, I mean,
they're in our top 100.
Yeah, we're getting to like some of the best movies ever. So
we have left is my hot take.
I know.
It's coming up in 2 more movie selections.
All right, your number 2.
My number 2. I'll just say beforehand that my number 2 and 1, I kind of went back and forth on, so it's maybe more in my mind a tie, but I went with First Reformed for my number 2.
Very good movie.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I think one of the more overlooked films.
Also, unfortunately, left off of my top 100 list.
I haven't seen it.
It's incredible. I recommend it to everybody.
It's on Amazon still.
Yeah.
Ethan Hawke's performance in this movie is incredible. I am still so mad that he wasn't nominated for Best Actor because he is like putting on a clinic in this movie.
Actually,
it's just
destroying.
It's a really great movie about like both your relationship to relationships to the world and to like existence and God, but also just a great like ecological film about how the world is dying because of pollution and global warming and stuff, and how it's corruption and like corporations that are doing it, and we have kind of no control over it. It's very dark, and it can put you in like a very very upset slash like somber slash what does all this matter mood for. But I also think the ending is like, it's really nice because it kind of just proves that like, you know, we can't do this by ourselves. Like, he's a very isolated character, but I think towards the end, it kind of ends on a somber note of like how, you know, other people and friendship and the embrace of others is what will keep us going. And it's just really deep and, oh, it's gorgeous too. Like the cinematography is great.
Yes.
Happy to report. It is now on my top 100 list.
Thank you.
It bumped out the Downton Abbey movie.
Oh.
Yes, good.
As a fan of Downton Abbey, I can respect that it got a place on the top 100. It is fantastic and everything that a fan would like. 5,000 movies came
out. The Florida Project's not on there, but Downton Abbey is.
But the Downton Abbey movie was fucking amazing.
It's all about feelings.
I'm just glad First
they had to prepare for the Queen. Their heater wasn't working.
I don't want to pit.
I didn't know that was the plot, but it's the most Downton Abbey thing I've heard.
That's not even the assassination attempt halfway through the film.
Robbie, Florida Project is on my list. I just missed it. It's 83.
Hey!
So I did have it.
It's not on my
Phoenix
list. I remember having to delete it.
I don't want to pit First Reformed stands against Downton Abbey stands.
No, we should.
I do like First Reformed more than Florida Project.
It would be the most polite fist fight of all time.
I will say First Reformed is better, and that's my stance.
Well,
come at me, Downton Abbey stands.
Would it? Okay, the question is, would PBS sponsor it or Drano?
Drano, yikes. Absolutely. You'll know when you see it. Robbie, you're number 2.
My number 2. Ooh, I'm excited to talk about this. I feel like I'm looking at your phone, Phoenix. I'm sorry. I'm going to say your number 1 before you.
Oh, okay.
It's The Social Network.
Hey.
I love this movie.
It's a good movie.
It's so great. The acting is fantastic. The direction is amazing. It's another one that just really, like,
I have it at 15. It is in my top 15.
Yeah. It's a fantastic film. It's a incredibly well written. I mean, Sorkin's always a fantastic writer. I don't have much else to say about it other than just like it's an experience that I have enjoyed watching again and again over the years.
It is to me like near perfect of a movie.
Yeah.
It's Aaron Sorkin, who's one of the greatest like movie writers ever at his best. It's David Fincher, who's one of the better modern filmmakers of our time, like at his best. It's got like such an incredible like acting
Brenda
performance.
Song at her best.
Brenda Song at her best.
Justin Timberlake.
Maybe the best acting Justin Timberlake's done.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Andrew Garfield.
That's not saying much, but that's
I don't know. Did you see In Time?
Did not see In Time.
I only had 4 minutes.
Another movie I haven't seen for this decade list. I haven't seen
really all about Jesse Eisenberg and Armie Hammer for that
yes.
movie.
Yes, yes. Absolutely.
Introduced me to Armie Hammer.
Armie Hammer.
Two people.
The Winklevosses.
And it's aged even better than it did when it came out. And it was already incredible when it came out.
Yeah.
When it came out, everyone was like, hey, are we being a little mean to Mark Zuckerberg?
And now
it's like, hey, we should be meaner than to Mark Zuckerberg.
I did like
this movie makes it like seem not as bad as he is.
I did like a couple months ago, Aaron Sorkin was like, you know, I might make a sequel.
Yeah.
Because he's like, there's just so much more that Facebook has done.
Yeah. It also kind of like defines the decade as like, it's just.
Yeah.
Facebook has defined the decade in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
This is a film that wrapped up the previous decade, really. The emergence of social media and then set the stage for what was to come.
Yeah, which was social media. Because even at the time, it was like, oh, we're making a Facebook movie? Like, why? It's like, what's the point? And then now it's like, oh, this movie just like, is the starting point of what this entire decade was about, social media. And like, I mean, you can get into like how Facebook has affected tons of our lives with like the election and like things that like how we've like treat people and talk to people now and just like the social media aspect in general.
I would love to see
how corporations are greedy and bad.
I would love to see a sequel where we just watch Jesse Eisenberg become the robot that is currently Mark Zuckerberg. Just slowly be like, yes, I want to buy Oculus.
The growth of the Silicon Valley lifestyle. Like, there's so much to this movie, and the score is incredible. Like, it's one of the best scores I think I've ever heard in my life.
Imagine Fincher doing the Congress hearing.
Yeah, I know. Oh, my God. Like, again, and this is, like, unlike Lady Bird, which is, like, a movie I would put on at any time just for how wonderful it is, The Social Network is deceptively so much fun to watch. It is you can put it on at any time. It's engrossing. The dialogue is so funny and so like engaging, and there's so many great scenes in this movie. It's my pick for the best movie of the decade. I love it so much.
Yeah. I love this movie. It's my number two.
I do have a question. Should we save Carter's number one and go with yours first?
Okay, sure. I'll do my number one because we know you're number one now. Yeah. My number one is The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's the movie that made me love film again.
Yeah.
Not in the way that, like, not that I ever hated film, but like I said, when I was a kid, I absorbed every bit of Star Wars behind-the-scenes information, every bit of the movies that I loved, the movies that were given to me, that were a part of my life. I absorbed that, and I loved it, and I loved movie making, and I wanted to be a filmmaker, and then I dropped that idea for some reason, and then I, you know, saw some good movies. I saw stuff like The Social Network, but I was already going to see, you know, some of the biggest movies in the world at the time.
Yeah.
I found this movie because of a BuzzFeed article about how to make the Mendel's chocolate from that class they had at the South by premiere or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I found out it was coming out 2 weeks later. I was like, okay, well, this looks like a lot of fun. Didn't know who Wes Anderson was, knew nothing. Came in, immediately re-fell in love with film. It's what got me to, and I just loved the world that was created, seeing just how the attention to detail, the, you know, the kooky characters. It's another just great masterclass in acting from, you know, Jeff Goldblum at maybe his second most Goldblum of the decade.
He is very Goldblum.
If you're not talking about Thor Ragnarok, I guess, which might be more Goldblum. but like,
true, very true.
It's just an experience that brought me back into this wonderful world. I saw it like 4 times in the theaters, and just like, I haven't looked back since. So there's no way to like, you know, choose any other film for the best movie. Yeah. It's so affecting in a way that I wouldn't be doing this without this, you know?
So all of this lead up. You know, Batman versus Superman gets a bad rap. And
my number one movie is no one. Nobody.
It's a Twin Peaks The Return.
I thought about throwing it in there to just fuck with you guys.
Oh god. Yeah, we don't need that argument on here. No, my number one is Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
Rian Johnson.
Cool.
2017.
Yep.
Y'all know I love Star Wars.
Yep.
I've talked about it at length on our Star Wars season. Mm-hmm. Talk about how much I love this movie.
Tell us, just real quick, because I feel like Phoenix and I both just said something about how without our number one movies of this decade, we wouldn't be where we are today. Mm-hmm. Where would you be if it wasn't for Star Wars The Last Jedi?
Hey, guys. Let me get into my emotional response then. Mm-hmm. I have, you know, I've loved Star Wars itself was kind of what got me interested in like watching movies to begin uh-huh. with. Like the earliest movies I remember watching were Star Wars, just, you know, the yellow blazing on screen, the fanfare, everything. And you always hear about people having these like big emotional reactions, like seeing, you know, Empire and, you know, Star Wars when it came out like 77 and 83 and like people being like, oh, I'll always have this experience forever. It was amazing. It was magical. I've never had anything quite like it. And I mean, the prequels were good. And I certainly like I was a kid and I was enamored with them. And Revenge of the Sith was like, wow, this is really cool. I love this. And then, you know, Star Wars was done. It was over. They weren't going to make any more. And then, you know, fast forward however many, 8 years, they're like, actually, we are making more Star Wars.
Yeah.
And Force Awakens came out, and I really enjoyed it. I liked it a lot. I was like, this was very fun, like, very solid. But I overall was like, this is a very safe pick. Like, this is a very safe movie. Didn't rock the boat too much, but it was still very good. And then they announced that Rian Johnson was directing the next Star Wars movie. He was writing and directing it. And I love him. I love Looper and Brothers Bloom and Brick and Knives Out, which he made after. But I still love it. All of his movies so far have been hits
Looper
for
in
me.
My top 100.
Also in mine.
I think it's 99 on mine.
So. What,
but,
really?
Yeah.
But I love it. He's. I mean, it's like this is what happens when you give a true like.
It feels like a snub, but yeah. It's his 99th best movie yeah. of the decade.
You give a true you know, independent like filmmaker voice. To make this, you know, basically he got free reign to do pretty much whatever he wanted. And man, does he do whatever he wants. And I respect the hell out of it. And it was the first time watching it that I truly kind of understood the magic that people talked about, like the capturing. I was just like, oh my God, this is, you know, unfolding around me. There were twists and turns at every corner I wasn't expecting. It's beautiful. It's maybe the most like beautifully shot Star Wars movie. I love the cinematography and, you know, the production design on it is amazing. And it's just, yeah, it's bold and, you know, and different and it's still Star Wars and I love it. And yeah, it's my number one movie of the decade.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. Ta-da. Okay.
Shannon, how do you feel about Last Jedi at number one?
I wouldn't have put it at my number one, but I, as somebody who's new to like really, really, really enjoying Star Wars, it's my favorite film of the franchise as of yet. And yeah, I don't have too much to say about that. No, I love it. It's fantastic. I don't really, you know, I've absorbed what the hate is for the movie, but like we've had the Star Wars podcast season. I mean, everybody that's listening should know that everybody at
Phoenix
this table,
only got to voice some of his opinions.
Enjoys this movie to varying degrees, but yeah, I don't know that I would have put it at number one, but I think, you know, go for it, Carter. This is the most Carter pick.
I'm gonna live my life.
It's, yeah, that it's might in be my top Carter 100. Choice. I just. You
it
know.
Would definitely be within my top 100. It would not be my number one, having kind of looked through Letterboxd and looked
it
at
is
the compilations.
On brand for me.
Yes.
It's extremely on brand.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely the best Star Wars movie of the decade. So if
unless,
that's what you're going off
unless,
of.
Unless, we've not seen Rise of Skywalker.
Getting into hours away from it.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, it's still several. So like 100 hours, like a couple hundred hours. But
I mean,
I mean, it's pretty clear that I think number one of the decade is Extreme.
But yes.
It's downright sacrilegious to compare to all the other movies, but, you know, you do you. It's your...
Okay.
How many times have you seen it? Because I know the listeners probably want to know how many times.
Oh, how many times? Yeah. Probably 20, 25.
Yeah, see. So if that justifies it enough, like, if you see a movie 25 times, it has to be pretty high.
And that's... It's probably the movie... Well, no, I've probably seen Solo the least of the Star Wars movies. Yeah, I've seen Solo the least. But I saw the movie 8 times in the theaters.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's our top
of
the decade.
I was going to say, instead of doing recommendations this episode, you want to list something from your top 100 that...
Let's all say our number 100s.
I was just... No, because I don't have mine ranked.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, list something from your list that either you didn't think people would guess would be on your list or... Something you think needs a shout out that doesn't get enough love. I'm going to, you can find me, I guess, on Twitter at Robbie D. Shazer. Go listen to Tap Heads. Other than that, in my list, in my top 100, a movie I think that everyone should see or that people wouldn't think I would put on there is 2016's The Red Turtle. Which is a fantastic animated film out of France. Just a very affecting, beautiful movie. Totally dialogueless. It's gorgeous. It's got some of the best of European animation. It's also from a lot of animators who came out of the Studio Ghibli program. So just quite a good watch. Go enjoy it.
You can find me on Twitter at CSpillers, like spill some yard and NNS. I have this little film. You may not have heard of it. It's David Fincher's The Social Network.
Are you really going to wreck
now? No, I'll pick.
It's a movie called Avengers Endgame.
This movie, I was not really expecting anything from it, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. It's 2016's Ben Wheatley's Free Fire. I really like this movie. I have it at 98. Yeah. But it's very much like, what if the third act shootout was the entire movie? And then what if no one really knew what they were doing? And I think it's a very fun movie. It's really expertly made, like the way it's staged so that you kind of follow the characters and know where they are and what they're doing. Cause the whole thing takes place in one set, the whole film. So it's very impressive how it's done, and a lot of John Denver in it, if you like John Denver. but Charlton Copley is really good. Armie Hammer, again, very entertaining. Brie Larson's also very good. Jack Rayner also. So it's good. I really like it.
You can follow me at BombSPhoenix on Twitter. I hope to tweet things you like. Like we said at the top, I think by this time we'll have tweeted our lists, our full 100, if you want to take a look at the full 100 list. I actually was trying to watch more movies, like big movies of this decade that I had not seen. So I can maybe like have a more round out list, more credibility to it that I've seen, because I would have felt bad if there were a lot of really good ones that I don't really have an opinion on or didn't get to see. So I'm going to pick one that I just saw recently, though it came out in 2013 as well. Pick Inside Llewyn Davis.
Another good so one.
Directed by the Coen brothers. I really, really, really like this movie. And I'm kind of upset that it took me this long to see it, because it's definitely one of my favorite Coen brothers movies at this point, because I just love the story of it. It's like... Both really funny, but also it kind of tells a story that I don't think is talked about that often, which is like how we see a lot of stories about artists, you know, trying to succeed and then make it big. And this one's kind of like, and one of it's like more common story, which is artists trying to make it big, but they actually can't, like they don't have what it takes.
Yeah.
And so it's a little bit of a bleaker story, but I think one that's more real and maybe more relatable to a lot of struggling artists. And, it's really good. Oscar Isaac is really great in this movie. It's just Coen Brothers like killing it as always. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
Shannon, do you want to plug them?
While y'all were talking, I scrolled through Letterboxd and tried to compile, like, you know, some of the most important films, I guess, to me of the 2010s. I can't, I guess, say that they're the best at this moment. I would need to do some more soul searching on that one. But I think the films that defined me that I've got pared down pretty well are The Favorite, Ex Machina. Big fan of Ex Machina. Can't say enough good things about that movie. I want Alicia Vikander to do more science fiction projects like this. Inception, which is the reason why I didn't give up on film and I'm currently pursuing a career in the entertainment industry in some capacity. And About Time. Let's talk about Time. That is one of my favorite movies of the 2010s. It's completely, it's my baseline for what you can do with a drama, what you can do with a romantic film, and what you can do with the time travel narrative. And Donald Gleason is absolutely adorable in this movie. I could watch it endlessly. Sleeper film of forever. And then Cold War. Go watch that. Those are kind of my top core.
Cool.
That's great. Yeah.
So, Happy New Year again to everyone.
Yeah. Let's looking forward to the next decade of movies.
Yeah. This was supposed to be a short bonus episode. This is like full length for
us. Yeah. So maybe we'll have a truncated,
Christmas episode.
Christmas episode.
We're recording these out of order. Shut up.
Fine. Anyway.
It's 2020. I have a Cybertruck. What are you talking about?
Anyway. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Film Fracas. We know there are a lot of shows on the web, and we are so glad you took the time to listen to ours. Thanks to Carter Spilliards, Phoenix Arola, and Shannon Widener for helping to write and produce each episode. Please consider giving us a 5-star rating wherever it is you listen. It really does help get the word out about the show. You can follow the show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @FilmFracas. Once again, thanks for listening, and we can't wait for you to hear our next episode.